for us short people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We got to release the Sunday school, yes? No Sunday school?
School holidays.
Oh, that's right. School holidays.
New program.
Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody okay? Everybody happy? Everybody had a good week? You know, the kingdom of God is never promised to us to have sometimes great days and good days. There's always trials and tribulations and challenges every day, every single day. And I always say this, that if you face those challenges, you know that your life is right in God. That you are doing something to impact the kingdom of God. Amen? That if something's happening to you and you find it really strange, well, welcome to the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God was never promised to be an easy ride. It wasn't a bed of roses. You know, mighty man of God took the kingdom out there, took the message of the kingdom out there and suffered for it. Hallelujah. But praise God, you know, in the kingdom of God, there's no such thing as a sprint. Everything is a marathon. We run slowly. But it's endurance that take you to the end. Amen? And you and I have to be able to have this kind of endurance in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, it's a topic that's never been touched, and persecution. Everybody goes through persecution. And I'm going to connect that with the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit that you and I truly need to operate in the kingdom of God. Amen? And persecution comes in different ways. People face, your persecution is different from mine. And, you know, little things that happen in your life is always a challenge. And, you know, the people in the kingdom of God, Apostle Paul, Peter, John, James, all of them went through trials and tribulations. And one thing that I really want to encourage the men and not even just the men, but the church itself, is to get involved in things like crusades and like a men are going out in May. Papa Joe, is it May 7th? 7th of May, there's a crusade in Port Moresby, run by the Living Light Gospel Church, Pastor Rodney and the team, and some of the men from this church and even ladies from this church are going, which is a really great thing because I really want to encourage that. My life as a person is changed because of me being involved in things like crusades and outreaches, because it speaks to you more than just being in church. You see a move of God and things that God does that is totally different from having a church service. And you come back totally changed, transformed, fired up, ready to go again, refreshed. And so I encourage the men to go, and anybody else that want to go. If God's allowed you to be able to get some finances to go, then go. It's a great thing. Myself, as I said, I've come from that situation where you see God move mightily. You know, it changes your perspective of what the Holy Spirit is and who the Holy Spirit is. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit from this message. And it's going to be a short message, all right? So don't worry. All is good. Hallelujah. We need to understand that the kingdom of God is unstoppable. Nothing can stop the kingdom of God. You can stop religion. You can put rules and regulations on religion and stop it. But you can never, never stop the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom of God is in here. It's in you. You can put someone in the jail and persecute him and throw him in jail, but you can never take the kingdom of God out of him. Once you become an Australian, you're an Australian. They can never take Australia out of you. You're born here, you're an Australian, they can never take it out of you. They can throw you in jail, you're still an Australian. In jail and out of jail. Kingdom of God is like that. When you receive Christ Jesus in your heart, born again, spirit-filled, walking with fire, then you will face things like that, but you will never, they will never, never, I can promise you and guarantee you this, that they will never take the kingdom of God away from you. Hallelujah. It's unstoppable. They tried it. They tried to kill the Christians. They cut them in half, saw them in half, put them in a boiling oil and did every kind of imaginable, crazy, horrible things to the early Christians, but they cannot stop it. Hallelujah. To this day, every person that was born to get Christianity and take kingdom of God out of this world has died, and the kingdom of God is still going forth. Hallelujah. Everybody has died. Hitler has died. Pol Pot has died. Everybody you can name, Stalin has died. But the kingdom of God keeps going. You and I are the results of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It's unstoppable. It's an unstoppable power. And who is behind this power? Hallelujah. And this is what we're going to talk about. I want you to know that based on Scripture, persecution will never destroy the kingdom of God. What it does is it multiplies it. The things that they think that is going to destroy the kingdom of God does the opposite. It multiplies it. Kingdom of God is like mercury. You know the mercury, when you hit it, it just spreads. It just becomes even bigger, expands. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Hallelujah. And this morning, it's wonderful to know that if you have given your heart to Jesus, then the kingdom of God is in you. It will never leave you, no matter what. No matter what. Be encouraged about that. Persecution will come. We will face it. We're even facing it right now. The rules and laws and regulations that they are bringing into the world today, into the government of this country and other countries, it's aimed at getting the kingdom of God. It's aimed directly at destroying the kingdom of God. But hey, listen, it's not a new thing. 200 and how many years ago, 2,000 years ago, they tried that. It didn't work. We are still here. The kingdom of God is still here and it's still advancing, so be encouraged. Hallelujah. You can't stop religion, but you cannot stop the kingdom of God. It's not difficult to do that. You can contain a religion, stop it from spreading, making laws against it. You can control religion because religion has to do with rituals, activities, people dealing with different traditions, and you can put limitations on these things, but you can even buy off religion. Remember the Roman pagans? Remember the Roman centurion that were watching the resurrection of Christ Jesus? They were the first people to see the resurrection. It wasn't the women. The Roman soldiers. See, God is not a fool to show the resurrection of Jesus Christ to Christians or people that know Christ. Because God wants testimony. And he showed the resurrection to the Roman pagans. And what did the religious leaders do when the Roman soldiers went to report the situation? What did the religious leaders do? They paid them. They said, do not go, just tell them that the disciples have come and stolen the body. That's the story that they wanted the world to know. But God is not going to bow down on that. Hallelujah. The Bible says when they went to report the authorities, guess who paid them? The religious leaders, not the Roman government. The religious leaders. You and I should know that religion is the greatest enemy to the kingdom of God. And I've been talking about that all the time. Because I wanted you and I to understand the Holy Spirit. If you truly understand the power of the Holy Spirit, His personality, His character, what He does and what He was sent here to do, then you will never be the same again. You will never be the same again. You and I go through situations, problems and troubles and, you know, every day of your life you face it. But God has given you one person, and it is the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised, he says, do not leave this place until I have sent the helper. And the helper is the Holy Spirit. So you and I really need to. This church, I really wanted to really move in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's my desire. That's Papa Joe's desire. That's the leader's desire. We wanted to really move in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to draw a line right there and say, this is the world and this is the church. There is no gray area. There is no hot and cold. But you see the church and you will recognize the church and say, truly, that's the kingdom of God. That's what I want. For my own life first. And I keep telling you guys this, that for myself first and then the church. Hallelujah. And God is dealing with us. God is dealing with us every day of our life. Hallelujah. All the way back there, we see the enemy of the kingdom of God is not the world, but the religion. The world is looking for the kingdom. People are looking for the kingdom of God. And I always say that God is trying to save the world, but man is always in the way with programs. Man is blocking God from moving. we are blocking God and blocking the Holy Spirit to move because we come up with programs and laws and traditions, and God can't move. People out there are looking for the kingdom of God. They're not looking for religion. They're tired of religion. Religion is a cause of a lot of headaches. Religion is a cause of war. Everything that has happened in this world was caused by religion. It wasn't caused by anything else. But Jesus preached one message. He says, preach the message of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. There are many people who are not able to preach the truth because they can be fired from their job. And that's so true. And there's a lot of things that I can talk about that. You know, they can be fired or stepped down from the job because the pastors are oppressed from really speaking out. Unfortunately, we had this situation up in the north, and Papa Joe is a witness to that, that the Holy Spirit moved mightily in a church. The people followed the Holy Spirit. The leaders didn't want to. And so God shut the church down. Shut it down. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no point in running a church. And the leaders chose to go after their money instead of seeing the church change by the power of the Holy Spirit. We should not be like that. Amen? We've seen that happen. But the kingdom cannot be bought. Hallelujah. Psalms 103, verses 19 to 20. The Lord established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. God's headquarters is not in Rome. God's headquarters is not anywhere else. And we should not follow that. We should not believe that there's an headquarter. The only headquarter that Jesus established was in Jerusalem. That was why there's so much fighting going on now on this little plot of real estate called Israel. It's just a tiny little country. But there's so much war. There's more wars going on that little plot of land than anywhere else in the world. And there's not going to be any peace until Jesus comes back. The only true peace that will come from Jesus Christ. Because he will rule and reign on that plot of land called Israel, in a city called Jerusalem. Hallelujah. That is the headquarters of God's kingdom. You and I, as a church, are the representative of God's kingdom. We are the ones that are here. We're like the embassy of God's kingdom. We represent God's kingdom. When people look at you, they want to see kingdom of God. They don't want to see religion. They don't want to hear about religion. They want to see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You with me? He is coming back to rule and reign in Jerusalem. Psalms 145, verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. Every generation that they tried to get rid of the kingdom still endures. God says, that is my kingdom, nothing will move it. So you and I don't have to worry about anything. God says, I will never forsake you or leave you. That's his promise. Last week we talked about covenant and how powerful covenant is. When God cuts a covenant, that covenant goes through generations of people. And I talked about Jonathan's son that we call Mef for short. He thought that King David did all his nice things for him. King says, no, it is not because of you, Mef, it's because of your father and the covenant and the promise that I made with him that I will always look after. And that is the covenant of God to us. And so you and I can be confident in the covenant and the word of God that he is, as my son Daniel will always say, I got your back. I've got your back. So God's got our back, amen? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God's got your back. God's got your back. Shake his hand. Shake your hand. God's got our back. Hallelujah. His kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and it will never pass away. Dominion endures forever. Hallelujah. In other words, God is saying, my kingdom will outlive, outlast, out-endure every government, every protest, every criticism against it, every kind of attack. The kingdom will outlive every one of them. Whatever that you are getting from the media, the criticisms that we're getting from the media, it's aiming at the kingdom of God, but it shall not prosper. The Word of God says that weapons will be formed. These are just weapons being formed. But He promised us that it shall never prosper. It will outlive. It's outlive you and I. It will outlive you and I. Praise God. If the Lord tarries, the kingdom will still outlive you and I to our generation. It will still go until Jesus comes back. And that is important for you and I. So you don't know Christ Jesus. Very important for you to know that you need to get into the kingdom of God. Not religion. We are not here to preach religion. We are preaching a kingdom message that God says, if you want to be in the kingdom of God, then be born again. Hallelujah. You have to be born again. Jesus said, if you want to see the kingdom of God, He didn't say if you want to see religion. He says, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. Hallelujah. Do you realize that there'll be persecutions coming for us? Every person that calls himself a follower of Christ, not Christianity. Christianity has been diluted. Everybody is a Christian now. But the true followers of Christ are the ones that carry the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells bodily inside of us. And that same Spirit will give us what? Life. That is the Spirit that differentiates you from the world. We've talked about righteousness, walking in righteousness, and we brought that before, and we're still going on about it. And it's important for you and I to understand that we need to walk in righteousness. You will get sick of hearing about righteousness. You will get sick of hearing about the kingdom of God. But that's what we should be doing. That's what you and I should be doing. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm thirsty. Can somebody get some water for me? Thank you. Daniel, can you be the assistant today? Thank you, mate. Hallelujah. We must remember that no priest, no bishop, no pastor, no evangelist is building the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. The Holy Spirit is the one that is building the church, not you and I. We must remember that so that we don't look at men. We don't look at men. We look at the Holy Spirit. He is the one that's building the church. He promised. There's every other thing's being built. But Jesus said, I will build my church. There's all sorts of other things being built. People are following after everything that is being built. But Jesus said, no, my church, He said, the gates of hell will not prevail. Thank you, Mr. Professor. Hallelujah. You and me? This is why you should not follow religion anymore. You, my friend, that you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ. Religion's not going to get you there. A relationship and love for the Lord Jesus Christ will get you there. Jesus said, only believe and confess with your mouth that Christ Jesus died for you on the cross. That is the message of the kingdom. There's nothing else. Hallelujah. The church is not the kingdom, but the agency that represents the kingdom of God. The church is the embassy, and the Holy Spirit is what? The ambassador of the kingdom of God. And you know where the Holy Spirit is? Right here. When Jesus sent him, He said, don't leave town before I send the helper. The helper is here. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you have not received Jesus, you've received Christ Jesus, but you haven't known this man called the Holy Spirit. See, everybody thinks that the Holy Spirit is just the third person that is at the end of the prayer of your Trinity prayer. In the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. He's the guy at the last. He is not. He is the power that you and I are serving right now. He is the power that Jesus sent back to operate on this planet through us, in us. He is not just some kind of a wind that floating in the air or some cosmos thing that we believe in. He is a person. Know His character and know His person. Because He is powerful. He is a person that has emotions. The Holy Spirit can get hurt. The Holy Spirit can get angry. All the emotions that you and I feel, the Holy Spirit feels. He's the same person. Wind doesn't change you. Wind doesn't convict you. Wind doesn't even do anything to you. But the Holy Spirit The presence of the Holy Spirit does that to you. Hallelujah. You and I are convicted, changed, and transformed because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing else, nothing more. Not men. Man is but a vessel that operates to do God's will. But the power comes from the Holy Spirit. If you have given your heart to Jesus, then you need power. And the power can only come from the Holy Spirit. He is the only one that can give you that power to overcome. Overcome all the temptations of the world, all the rubbish that they throw at your face. The Holy Spirit is the one that can get you over that. Hallelujah. We cannot live in the kingdom of God without conflict. There is always going to be conflict. So don't get too comfortable, church. Just be on ready every time. Be on standby. And if something happens to you, go, praise God, hallelujah. Give me some more. James Brown, do that. Hallelujah. Where did that come from? Oh, dear. Sorry. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Holy Spirit is a beautiful person. When you and I come to know Him very well and allow Him to work in our hearts, I'm telling you, we are going to be a dynamic church. Dynamic. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 8. Oh, sorry. I got to change these glasses. Can I get another new glass? I'm tired of this glass. Every time I read the wrong thing. Oh, no, that's too big. Hang on. That's Papa Joe's. You can see through that thing. Where's my bag? So, excuse me, church, please. Give me. Because he... Oh, man, that's great. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 7, verse 8. Focus now. Stay focused. Jesus said to the religious leaders, "You have laid aside commandments of God, and you hold the traditions of men." The persecution of Jesus' followers started there, right there with the statement. This argument started when the Pharisees saw Jesus' disciples eating bread without the ceremonial washing of the hands. Verse 5, the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" Listen to Jesus' answer. Matthew chapter 15, verse 3. He answered and said to them, "Why do you always transgress the commandments of God?" Jesus answered their question with a question. He says, "Why do you always transgress the commandment of God?" They did not have one answer for that question. Hallelujah. These are the same questions that you and I get to this day. You know, you and I were tired of following religion. You are here because you understand the kingdom of God. You are here because you finally found the kingdom of God. When Jesus said the kingdom of God is here, He meant what He said. Religious zeal is the greatest enemy to the kingdom of God. Traditions will always fight the kingdom. The book of Acts both introduced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the beginning of persecution. When Stephen was taken out to be stoned, Paul was there giving his consent. In other words, Paul was standing there and shaking his head when they were stoning Stephen. And he says, "Yep, that's very good. Get some more. Let's just do the same thing." And so Paul was giving consent to the persecution of the church. Paul was literally in charge of the persecution. He was the most eloquent, well-trained Pharisee. Paul was very educated. He wasn't like Peter. Peter was a rough and tough fisherman from the village. But Paul was a class of his own. The Bible says Paul graduated as top of his class at the school of Gamaliel as a Pharisee. Paul says, "I was the chief of all who graduated at Gamaliel's institute of Pharisees. The school of Gamaliel was the number one institute where Pharisees go to study in a day. It was top of the class. He had PhD and DDD and every kind of D you want to talk about. Paul had that. It was top. And he said that, I was top of everything. And you know why? That's why I love God. This is why God used Paul to preach to the Gentiles like you and I. Because Paul understood the traditions of the Jews. He understood law. He understood everything that they learned at that school. And then he met the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Ooh, that's powerful. Paul had everything, all the knowledge that you can think of. He had it, all the certificates, everything. And then he met the Holy Spirit. He didn't meet Jesus. He met the Holy Spirit. The apostles hang around with Jesus. They ate with Jesus. They slept during the ministries that they did. They had a relationship with Jesus. Paul didn't. Paul met the Spirit that you and I have met. Hallelujah. You and I met the same Spirit that Paul met. And Paul was taken into this place where he could minister both to the Jews, but more to the Gentiles, because he understood the laws and the traditions of the Jewish culture, and used it so powerfully to preach to the Gentiles. Well, you and I are the results of Paul's work. Hallelujah. God is good. God has got every plan in the book. Everything that men think that they can throw at the church or at the kingdom of God, God turns it around every time. You and I are the arrowhead or the arrow in God's quiver. You are the arrow that he uses every time. Every time there's a need for something, God uses you. Hallelujah. You know, I believe that the kingdom of God was scattered through, and persecution was good because most of those Christians got comfortable when they gave their heart to Jesus. Everybody started to like chill out and go, yeah, this is great. And then God brought in persecution. And what he did, it scattered the gospel, scattered everybody out to different parts of the world, at that time. Hallelujah. Paul's religious zeal killed a lot of kingdom citizens. The point is your greatest enemy is not the world at times. It'll be just religious or religion. That's your greatest enemy to achieve something in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Man will always be in the way, and God wants to change the world. The very thing that tries to destroy God's kingdom helps to expand it and spread it. I believe God allows persecution. I believe that God's going to allow persecution in you and I's life to shake us a little bit to do the work. Hallelujah. And so don't be surprised if something happens to you. It's normal for you to get persecuted. You know why? Because you live a different culture. Your culture, you and I live in a culture that's totally, totally different from the world and from religion. You know, the question is this. People are fighting for religion, right? I was always thinking, well, if your religion is really, really powerful, then why are you protecting it? Why are you fighting hard to protect it? You and I don't even have to protect the kingdom of God. God does it himself. Every other thing that has come in the face of the kingdom of God has failed, destroyed, gone. Every empire that you can think of that come against the kingdom of God has failed. And the kingdom of God still moves on in you and I. Hallelujah. You are the result of the amazing work that Paul, the apostle, and Peter, and James, and John did. Hallelujah. Jesus is amazing, man. Every time I read about his work, I have to read again and to really understand. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12. So when the persecution started, there was a lot of the apostles and a lot of people actually got scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And one guy called Philip, in verse 4, we say Philip went to a place called Samaria. That's a place that has never been touched by the Jews. The Jews looked at the Samaritans as the outcasts. And so they never wanted to have anything to do with the Samaritans. But what happened is God allowed persecution to happen so that people can be scattered into those places that they never thought they could set foot on. And there's this man called Philip, hallelujah. And Philip walked into Samaria. In verse 4, we see that those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Didn't preach religion, he preached Christ. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. And Acts chapter 8, verse 12 to 13. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. Simon was a sorcerer. Simon was one of those things we call in PNG poison man. He believes, he does all the stuff that is totally against God's purpose. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and the miracles he saw. The key verse is this. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been what? Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. This is a really key verse that I wanted to talk about. This is the first time that we've seen the Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit. The people believed and were baptized in the name of the Lord, but they didn't receive the Holy Spirit yet. So Peter and John had to go to Samaria to pray for those people to receive the Holy Spirit. Remember this, the people were Gentiles like you and I. The Holy Spirit was poured in the day of Pentecost upon the Jews. It was upon the followers of Christ Jesus. But Philip and Peter and John took that to the Samaritans. Hallelujah. See, the disciples and many other followers of Jesus knew Jesus. They followed him around when he was ministering in Judea, and they believed in his message of the kingdom. They already had a relationship with Jesus when he was alive, but they didn't receive the power yet until the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was released. Jesus said, wait until I send the Helper when you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, and go out and preach the kingdom message. Hallelujah. If you have been born again and have not received the Holy Spirit, today is a great time for us to pray for you to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to obey the Word of God and what it says, and we're going to put it into action by praying for those who have not been that have never received the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the power to operate, so that you don't worry about anybody putting juju on you, or whatever you want to call it. A lot of us black fellas, always think about that. Fear of all the witchcraft and all that stuff. I'll get to that in a minute. John chapter 20, verse 19 to 22. Then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came. This is even before the day of Pentecost. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And when he had said those things, he breathed upon them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. When I first read this scripture, I was thinking, well, they've received the Holy Spirit, and what is the day of the Pentecost, and what is Jesus doing right there? But you know, the Bible never contradicts itself. What Jesus did on this day was training the disciples how they were going to do the same thing when they lay hands on other people. The disciples received the Holy Spirit. And then at the day of Pentecost, there's more than just 12 people or 11 people received the Holy Spirit. It came like fire and tongues of fire and upon all the disciples and upon all the people. And they started speaking in tongues. But Jesus did something that taught the disciples that this is what you do. When you pray for someone, you lay hands on them and they will receive the Holy Spirit. That was how you transfer the Holy Spirit to the other people, the others that have not received. Hallelujah. And I thought, wow, okay, so that makes sense. Jesus was preparing the disciples for the day of Pentecost when he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. So after the day of the Pentecost, when revival broke out in Samaria, Peter and John had to go and lay hands, physically lay hands on the Gentiles for the Holy Spirit to come. When Simon, now this is, we're going to talk about Simon a little bit. Simon was a sorcerer. He was practicing witchcraft. And everybody feared him in this town. The Bible says that everybody respected him out of fear because he was dealing with a totally different spirit. That's what I'm saying. There's all sorts of spirit, but none of them are holy like the Holy Spirit. There's so many different spirits that you and I can get caught up in. But there's only one spirit that is holy, and it is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That third person that you pray all the time about. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the person. That's the only Holy Ghost that you and I are dealing with right now. And when Simon saw the Spirit was given at the laying of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. He tried to buy the power that Peter and John had. And he said, "Give me also this ability that everyone on whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." Simon had good motives, but the way he was going about it was wrong. He thought that he could buy what the apostles had. Simon was into witchcraft. The Bible says he was into what? Voodoo, juju, whatever you want to call it. Cuckoo. Whatever you call it in your language. Poison. This is Pidgin for witchcraft. Everybody in PNG are scared of the poison man. You know, my uncle is a feared witchcraft sorcerer in my village. But you know, when I gave my heart to Jesus, I never feared that man. When I walk into the village, everybody, even my mom says, "This guy, you know, he says in Pidgin, one plus poison man, yeah. He's a sorcerer." I said, "Really?" So I went down and sat down with the guy and had a chat. We had a wonderful conversation together. Everybody else was like, "Ben's talking to this sorcerer." You know, no juju, no witchcraft, no voodoo, no whatever you want to call it will ever touch you. People tie little strange leaves and bottles and things on a tree, of a mango tree that you can touch. You know what? I can walk in there and grab that mango, pull that bottle out and give it to you. That's how you deal with the kingdom of the devil. You don't play around with them. You carry the power of the Holy Spirit. You got the most powerful weapon in the world today that no juju, witchcraft, sorcery can ever. You know, we black people are so scared of that. I don't know about you other guys, but my village, everybody fears the sorcerer. I go and sit down with my uncle and talk with him. And everybody's like, my mom said, "Are you talking to the guy?" I said, "What's wrong with him?" He said, "Oh, he's a sorcerer." "Really? Seems like a normal person to me." But his son, they used to call him the sniper. This is really amazing stuff. They call him a sniper because everything he does, people die. People literally die from the spirit that they deal with. And that's why the name went around the village that this is a sniper. I don't care about that sniper. I turn up there. I'm with the armor of God. Hallelujah. You can be a sniper. You can be a sniper, but your sniping cannot get me. And you know what's happened to that sniper right now? He's a pastor. Ho-ho! He's a pastor. And instead of me planning a church in my village, he planted a church in my village. And so he's now the senior pastor of the church right in the middle of the village. There is no more sorcery in my village. God dealt with that. Hallelujah. So don't worry about the jujus and the cuckoos and the whatever. You can just walk and say, you can dare him and say, "I dare you in Jesus' name." Hallelujah. You just do that. You know why? Because you carry the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a good person. Hallelujah. Oh, I love him. I love Jesus. I love everything about this. This is good. It's good for you and I. So Simon was into witchcraft and everybody feared him. But you know what? You and I shouldn't laugh at Simon because, you know, in our old days, everybody goes, you and I were like that. We were looking for some kind of power by looking at some horoscopes and some tarot cards and going to see some, you know, ring people and go, "Oh, you know, what's my day going to be like tomorrow?" You know, if I was one of those guys working it, I'd say, "Your day is going to be hell." People are ringing up, people going, read my palm. And so you and I were like that. Amen. Oh, was it just me? Somebody read my palm and went before I came to Christ. So I was like, oh, okay. And I'm sitting there going, how do you know that I'm going to be like this and like that? And everything that he said about it was wrong. So don't believe all this juju cuckoo stuff. Hallelujah. Simon thought that he would thought that he had power until the power showed up in the city. Simon thought he was the man until power showed up in the city in the form of Philip, the evangelist. Hallelujah. Wherever there is evil reigning, only evil reigns only because there is religion. Oh, there's a strong words. These are very strong words. But evil reigns wherever there is religion, and I will prove to you that. Hallelujah. Strong statement, but you will understand when I'm finished. I pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. The Pharisees and the scribes were in that city for years, but one man dealing with sorcery at the whole city, bowing down to him. But one man, glory, hallelujah, Philip, the evangelist, walked in with the real power. Everything else was in there was counterfeit until Philip walked in. You know, do you remember when Jesus cast out the demon from this guy and the Pharisees said that it was by the power of Beelzebub? Beelzebub means Lord of Flies, or the prince of the devil himself. And when Jesus cast out the demon, everybody was saying that, or the Pharisees, oh, it's the power of the devil, by the power of the devil that you've cast that demon out. And it's very interesting how Jesus answered the Pharisees. The Pharisees said, the reason why you are able to cast that demon out is because you are full of the devil. The man who was possessed by the demons all these years, this man was possessed by the demons all these years, and he was surrounded by church and religion. There's synagogues there, synagogues over there, Sadducees here, Sadducees there, Pharisees over there, and they were all circling around and jumping up and down around this one demon. As Papa Joe would say, they were gallivanting around this demon until Jesus showed up. Hallelujah. And the demon reacted to the power of the kingdom. Everybody else, religion was in that place. It never delivered anybody. The man was still possessed until the kingdom of God showed up. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus said, that kingdom of God is here. Jesus answered in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city of the house divided against itself will not stand. In other words, Jesus said, how can Satan cast out Satan? Satan can only be cast out if there's a power higher than Satan. And there was a power that was more higher than every demon and every Beelzebub that you can think of, that was higher than them, that showed up and the demon left because it could not stand the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the same Holy Spirit that I'm talking about, that Jesus has preached about, that every person has talked about, that you and I have heard so many times, and we say, yeah, we know about the Holy Spirit. No, we need to really know him. You and I really need to know the Holy Spirit. Because everything that you know, there's so many knowledge of the Word of God. It's all in here. But it's going to be tested. Everything that you know about the Word of God will be tested. When it comes down to here, then action, as they say, speaks louder than words. Because you know that when the Word of God is in here, you are now empowered. If it's just in here, everybody's got knowledge of the Word of God. They can quote scriptures like that. I can even quote scriptures faster than them. People quote scriptures like that. I said, really, do you believe that? If you quote scriptures to me, I'll ask you, do you believe in that scripture that you just quote to me? That is the question that you got to quote, that you got to ask them all the time. Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. And we keep saying that all the time. Hallelujah. I'm going to close. But I'm going to ask the music team to come up. And we're going to sing a song, but I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray for, first of all, for those who have backslidden. And then I will pray for those who want to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I will pray for those who want to receive Christ Jesus. Amen? And if you've got healing and everything else, you can come up after the services, and then we can pray with you. But we're going to pray. We preach the word and we're going to put it into action. Because I know the Holy Spirit is here to deal with it. The Holy Spirit is dealing with you right now. If you're a person that's living and scared of juju and boo-boo and cuckoo and all this stuff, we're going to pray with you tonight. Break this thing in your life. That you will never, never believe any of that rubbish. Amen? Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you have the greatest power inside of you right now. Look at him in the eye. Look at him in the eye. Shake the hand and say, you have the greatest power. Amen. And believe that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, you've done so much. They've tried to put a lid on everything on the church. The only thing that you instituted, made legal on this planet is the church and the kingdom of God, Father. And Holy Spirit, I pray that your people today have truly understand your power and who you are. You're not just a wind and just a wishy-washy thing that comes and goes, but you're a true person. You're a person. You're the third person in the Trinity, oh God. You're the person that is right here, right now, doing the work to change our lives. You're the person that is here right now to allow people to really, truly understand that they could be born again to be in the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Lord, as we look to you, we know that you are the only one that can change everything in our lives, Father. Father, your word says that you will never forsake us nor leave us, and that is your word to us, that you will protect us. You said that you will give charge over your angels to watch over us. Thank you, Lord, that we've driven here, God, knowing that we are safe. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to drive back home to our homes knowing that we are safe. Thank you, Lord, that when we go to work, that when we face situations and trials and temptations and situations, God, that we know that we are safe. We are, Lord, Father, under your covering, God, because you gave charge to the angels, oh God. Father, we honor you. We thank you. I pray, Holy Spirit, now that you touch the hearts of your people, those that need to give their hearts to the Lord. Lord, you know them all by name, every person in this room. Those that have backslidden, you know them each all by name. Father, those that are in need of healing, God, you know them all by name. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand and sing and give some time to the Holy Spirit. And if you need some prayer, come. Don't sit there and hold back and take the problem back with you. Come. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, he comes and does his work. He never fails to do that. And we will continue to talk about the Holy Spirit. We will continue to talk about righteousness. We will continue to make sure that all of us as a church walk upright before God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Close your eyes. Let's close our eyes. Just give a few minutes to the Holy Spirit to work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you. Riba kashata kashila ba 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 riba ba ba ba. Rebe shita kashala ba 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 riba. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that your people are here, that your people are in need. Thank you, God, that you are now touching the hearts of those people. Hallelujah. If you need to give your heart to Jesus, don't wait. Tomorrow is never allocated to you. Your life is never your life. It was given to you by God. Every Sunday, we never fail to make altar call. It's so important that your life is in the hands of God before you can walk out of this building. You don't know tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. You die in your sleep, get hit by a car, and even not knowing about Jesus Christ. So I pray, don't stay there. Come. If you need healing, come. We're going to pray with you. If you need a touch from God, come. If you need some refreshing touch from God, come. I am not going to change you. The Holy Spirit is going to do it. We're going to believe in the Holy Spirit and lay hands on you and pray. If you have never received the Holy Spirit in your life, come. We're going to pray. And we're going to keep talking about the Holy Spirit so that you'll be so empowered by it that you will never, never have to worry about anything. You will never be afraid of anybody. You will never be afraid of religion. You will never be afraid of anything that comes against you or even the world that throws at you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Satisfy my